Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 6, as we jump into our brand new series entitled Overcomer. Every Sunday in the month of August and September, we're going to be studying this thought of being an overcomer as we discover 8 ways to live a life of unstoppable strength, unmovable faith, and unbelievable power. And we kick off today with this lesson entitled Overcoming Weakness with Strength. Overcoming our weakness with God's strength. Now, there's no doubt there's a lot of adversity in our society and culture today. And sometimes it literally feels like the world is falling apart. Even in the last 24 hours, if you get any kind of news feed update, shooting in Texas, shooting in Ohio, this issue, this problem, that problem, it just surrounds us. It's constant. It's all the time, and it's in our face. And sometimes it feels like, I don't know that I can handle anymore. I don't know that I can hurt anymore. It just seems like with everything that the world is throwing at me, the anxiety, the fear, the confusion, the temptation, how am I going to respond? How am I going to live in the culture and society in which we find ourselves in 2019? And we can either concede defeat or we can live in the victory that God promises to us. But there's a difference in choosing to live in victory and actually living in victory. You mean, if we choose to live in victory, then we are going to have to apply the principles in God's Word to ensure this victory, to fight this fight against fear, against temptation, to overcome the world, not just in practice, but in reality on a day-to-day basis. And so in this series, we're going to learn what the Bible says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all things, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God desires for each and every one of us to be more than a conqueror through Him, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to learn in this series strategies to overcome the challenges that we face. Every person in this room faces challenges in life. How do we overcome those in a victorious manner? What is the strategy? And for that, I want us to look in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, when the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, listed the components of the spiritual armor that we need to protect ourselves. And beginning in verse 10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, as we look at Ephesians 6, and this passage of Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit telling us what we need to put on concerning the armor of God to defeat the wicked one, we see that Satan attacks us in 8 different ways. And in this passage, we see that Satan wants to keep us from God's strength, that he desires to go after our honesty, that Satan is after our heart and our righteous living, that he wants to fill our life with anxiety and with doubt, that he longs to confuse our mind, that he loves to tempt us to sin, and that he hates it when we pray. And we're going to take these 8 attacks from the wicked one that are posed against every person in this room, and we are going to learn from the Word of God a strategy to help us overcome, to defeat the attacks of the wicked one. And I want to challenge all of us this morning to determine that now is the time to prepare. You see, when Satan attacks us, and he will, we're not going to have time to Google spiritual armor. We're not going to have time to call Brother or Mrs. Rule. We may not even have time to pray. So we have to be prepared now, because Satan is going to attack everyone in this room. Satan is going to try to defeat everyone in this room. And if you're going to be an overcomer, if you are going to live in victory, It will be because you have prepared to live in victory. You're putting some things into practice even right now, because it is God's purpose that all of us would live in victory. Notice in your notes in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." It is God's desire for you to live a victorious Christian life. And this morning, as we start that series, we want to talk about overcoming our weakness with God's strength. Canadian speed skater Denny Morrison won his first Olympic medal in 2006 and continued winning medals right through the 2004 Winter Olympics. After that, his eyes were firmly set on the 2018 Games in South Korea. But in May of 2015, Morrison was involved in a horrific motorcycle accident and barely survived multiple serious injuries, including one that left a titanium rod in his left leg. As soon as possible, he began the arduous process of rehabilitation and training, still determined to qualify for the 2018 Winter Olympic Games. But the next year, after he and his girlfriend went on a three-week biking trip, she noticed that he was suspicious in his behavior. He had slurred speech and a droopy face and a left side weakness that she was detecting. And she knew the signs, and she rushed him in, and sure enough, it was confirmed he had suffered a stroke. Again, Morrison recovered and dove back into training, now also struggling with the mental after effects of a stroke, including depression. But remarkably, in 2017, he qualified to represent Canada at the 2018 Olympic Games. Training for that level of competition pushes athletes to their limits. But Morrison's teammates repeatedly said that he was their inspiration to keep going no matter what. His coach called him the most resilient athlete he had ever seen. And although Morrison did not medal in 2018, the journey to get there and to compete was victory in and of itself. Describing his grit and determination, Morrison said, "It's human nature to encounter adversity. And when you do, there's a choice you have to make. Are you going to fight? Are you going to overcome? Are you going to work towards your goal? Or are you going to give up and fail? When things stand in the way between you and what you want to achieve, it's that grit factor that gets you where you want to go. Goals don't come easy for anyone, no matter your line of work. But I think if you make a gritty attempt and push forward, you'll surprise yourself and everyone else with how far you can go." Morrison was an overcomer. God wants you and I to be an overcomer, and he wants us to overcome our weakness with his strength. Morrison learned that strength comes in all kinds of forms. But you know what weakness does as well? There's marital weakness. There's moral weakness. There's financial and physical weakness. There's parental and job-related weakness. But probably the most debilitating weakness that we're going to learn about in this series is spiritual weakness, when our walk with God is not what it should. Now, Paul's command to be strong is echoed throughout the Word of God. In fact, when God commissioned Joshua as Moses' successor to lead the nation of Israel, we find in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 9, that Moses tells Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage." David said to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:20, and David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." When Paul was preparing Timothy to be his successor and to take the ministry that God had given to him, he said in 2 Timothy 2:1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In fact, there are more than 30 times in the Word of God where God commands someone to be strong. Now, you might assume God is commanding that we take up the strength that he offers so that we can fight. But the reality is, it's not fighting that God wants us to do. It's standing that God wants us to do. In fact, four times in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, commands you and I as a believer to stand in the power that God has given to us. Now, why are we challenged to stand and not to fight? And here it is. We're not commanded to fight because Jesus Christ has already won. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, gaining victory over death, sin and the grave, he provided the victory that every one of us need. We don't have to fight for victory. Jesus Christ has already given that victory. So we are called upon as a child of God not to fight, but to be strong, to stand in the victory that Christ has already given to us. God wants you and I to face our future with confidence, not because of us, but because of Him. God wants us to live in victory, not because of our own accomplishment, but because of His accomplishment. God wants us to stand in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to be an overcomer. So what does it mean to be an overcomer? And how do we exchange our weakness for God's strength? Well, notice mystery number one this morning, that if we're going to overcome our weakness, we must begin by standing strong. Standing strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13, the Bible says, "Watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." God wants you and I to stand fast in the faith. God is telling us through this passage, as Paul is the penman, that we are called of God to stand firm in the faith that He has given to you and I. And can I ask you a question this morning? What are you leaning on today? Are you leaning on your own strength, or are you leaning on the strength that comes from God? Because we're never going to overcome in our own strength. But if we are empowered by the strength of an almighty God, we can be an overcomer. And when we think about our goals, when we think about our accomplishments, it can be something of a supernatural when it is done in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about the start of your day, how we might speak to our spouse or to our children, to our coworkers or to a perfect stranger. Will we care for ourselves? Will we walk with God? Or will life take over? And will we neglect the things that truly are important? When we're attacked, what is exposed? When we go through a time of trial, what do people see? And what is our response to that? Are we going to fight? Well, Satan is stronger. Are we going to run? Satan is faster. Are we going to try to endure? Satan's pretty patient. But will we stand? And I urge us this morning as a class to take Paul's words and to defend the ground that God has already given to us by standing. Fight by standing in the victory that is already yours through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what our enemy doesn't have. That is what we have as a child of God. The power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must stand strong in the victory that God has given to us. How do we overcome our weakness with God's strength? Secondly, by finding the strength you need. If our strength is insufficient, if our strength is not going to lead to victory, if our strength is not going to cut it, then what strength do we need? And I submit to all of us this morning, we need the strength of an almighty God. We serve an amazing God of ultimate strength, and we need the strength that only He can provide. Psalm 68:35, "O God, Thou art terrible. Out of the holy places, the God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people. Blessed be God." And again in Isaiah, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." There's no one in this room in possession of everlasting strength. Every one of us have a strength that will deteriorate and a strength that will get tired and a strength that eventually will give way. None of us are going to have everlasting strength, but we serve a God with everlasting strength. And as people watch your life and as people watch my life, is the product of that scene our strength or His strength? And Paul is challenging us, stand fast in the faith. Jesus has already won. God has the strength you need. Stand in His strength. And when you can exchange your weakness for God's strength, great things happen. You say, "Well, I believe in God. I believe in all of these things." Well, the Bible says in James 2:19 that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Listen, it's not enough to believe in God. It's not enough to even to sit in this room and to say, "Gabe, I agree that God has all the strength we need." That is not enough. Satan knows that to be a reality. Now, God is not asking that you and I beg for strength. He's not asking that you and I necessarily even go look for strength. But God is looking for people who will admit they need His strength and are willing to receive it. We overcome our weakness with God's strength by receiving what God has already promised to give. Watch this in Isaiah 40. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Listen, the only time that you and I are incapable of receiving the strength of God is when we are confident in our own strength. It's not that God doesn't have enough strength. It's that you and I have to come to a point in our life where we say, God, I need your strength. I'm willing to receive your strength. I am convinced I cannot make it on my own. And I need the everlasting strength that only comes from God. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And let's claim what was told to the believers in Philippi, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So God has all the strength you need, but are you willing to receive it? Where do we get it? Letter A, we download God's strength from His Word. From His Word. Biblical scholar R.A. Torrey was once approached by a man who complained he got nothing out of studying the Word of God. Torrey said to him, well, read it. The man replied, I do read it. Well, read it some more, said Torrey. Take one book and read it 12 times a day for a month, he suggested to the discouraged Christian. And he suggested he start with the book of 2 Peter, for it only had 3 chapters. Later, the man said, my wife and I began to read 2 Peter 3 or 4 times in the morning, 2 or 3 times at noon, and 2 or 3 times at dinner. Soon I was talking 2 Peter to everyone I met. It seemed as though the stars in the heavens were singing the story of 2 Peter. I read 2 Peter on my knees, marking the passages with my highlighters. Teardrops mingled with the colors. And I said to my wife, sweetheart, you see how I have ruined this part of my Bible? And she said, while your Bible has gotten darker, your life has become lighter. I love the quote. If your Bible is falling apart, it usually means that you are not. The Bible says in Psalms, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. May you and I know what it is to live in supernatural strength and be an overcomer, because we are downloading that strength from the Word of God. Many of us own a computer. And in that computer is a hard drive, and it contains all the applications that we would use in a given day. When we launch a program that we need, the content of that application is downloaded from the hard drive into the temporary memory of your computer. The operating system finds it and delivers it to your screen. And once the program is on, it is available to you. But when it is unused, it is stored on the hard drive of the computer. Now listen, can I remind you what the Word of God is filled with this morning? Notice in your notes in 1 Peter chapter 1, according to His divine power hath He given us all things, and pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby we are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, God says right here, and my word is exceeding great and precious promises. Everything you need for life, it's right here in the Word of God. But God's truth is not going to affect your life or mine in one way if it's on the shelf. It's got to get in our heart. Listen, all the stuff on that hard drive is nothing unless it's now in the application in which we're working, and all the truths and all the promises and all the precepts and all the principles in the Word of God and all the power that comes with it will do nothing unless it's in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And may you and I this morning recognize I need the strength of God. And that comes from the Word of God. And so I want to read the Word of God. I want to meditate on the Word of God. I want to memorize the Word of God. I want to share the Word of God wherever I go. The Bible says in Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testament of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God wants you and I to make big of His Word. On November the 19th of 2007, Pauline Jacoby loaded her groceries into her car in the Walmart parking lot in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Then she got into the driver's seat and began to prepare herself to head home. And suddenly, just before she backed the car out of the spot, a man jumped into the front seat next to her. He looked at her in the face and he said, I have a gun and I will shoot you if you do not give me all the money that you have. The 92-year-old lady refused the demand 3 different times and then said, if you kill me, I'm going to go to heaven and you will go to hell. Jesus is in this car and he goes with me everywhere I go. Tears welled up in the man's eyes. And for the next 10 minutes, Pauline Jacoby witnessed to him. Finally, he told her that he would go home and pray. Jacoby responded that he could pray anywhere and that God would hear him. She then reached into her purse and gave him all the money she had left, $10. Tears rolled down his cheeks. He took the money and left, but not before leaning across the seat and giving her a kiss on the cheek. Now, what gave Pauline Jacoby the strength to verbally stand up to this man? It was her strength of her spiritual life. It was the strength of her love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was her confidence in the Word of God. In fact, it was a strength that was reinforced by her daily habit of reading the Word of God and downloading the Bible into her heart. She was an overcomer. And we can be an overcomer if we will download the power of God's strength through His Word. But also, let it be, we can download God's strength from worship. When our heart is overwhelmed, when it is sad, when it doesn't know where to turn, when the stresses and anxieties of culture and society are taking over, it's incredible what can happen when we turn our worship to God. Something happens inside of us. When our outward focus and worship is on the Lord Jesus Christ, our worship fills our heart with worthiness of God, and it uplifts our spirit, and it draws us closer to the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 21:13, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength." So we will sing and praise thy power unto thee. O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. May you and I not only be spending time in the Word of God, but may you and I take time to worship God. There's an incredible illustration of this in the Old Testament. Habakkuk was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God in a time where the children of God were living very disobediently. Habakkuk was praying and talking to God and looking for God to send judgment upon his children. Habakkuk felt like that judgment wasn't coming in time and was feeling frustrated, like God wasn't listening. Finally, God gave Habakkuk direction that he was bringing judgment. In fact, he was going to be bringing it by the Chaldeans, which were the most wicked people and nation on the face of the earth at the time. Habakkuk second-guessed his prayer. "I knew the people needed judgment, but the Chaldeans, God, are you sure? Do you know what they do to people? Do you know what that will mean for your people?" He was of great anguish of heart. At his wit's end and not sure what to do, and being very overwhelmed, Habakkuk wrote a song and worshiped the Lord. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, we see, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." This is going to be terrible destruction of your people, verse 18. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my string instruments." In the midst of it all, when I don't know what's going to happen and it doesn't look good, I'm just going to worship God. How can you and I be an overcomer? By downloading the strength that comes from God through worship. You see, we're all going to face unexpectancy in life. We're all going to have a bad day. Things are not going to go our way, and something's going to happen that we would not have chosen. But we can choose in that moment to face the situation head on and to praise and to worship God. He's worthy of it. It focuses our heart on Him, and it allows us to tap into His strength. We overcome our weakness, and we exchange it for God's strength when, in the midst of adversity, we worship Him. But let us see. We see that we download God's strength by waiting. Now, not many of us like to wait. Patience is a virtue, but it's not one that maybe we want to practice all the time. But the Bible says that we are to wait on the Lord. And when we do, we will find strength. Notice in Psalms 27:14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Isaiah said, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Even the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, the essence of waiting is to accept the unfolding plan of God in your life. It's to rest in the sovereignty of God. It's to recognize I can't change today. I can't alter tomorrow, but it's all in God's hands, and I can trust Him. So how do we wait on the Lord? I would say, first of all, we need to slow down. We need to download God's strength and create time to be with Him. Isaiah, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning the rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall your strength, and ye would not. The word quietness there means a ceasing of activity. You know what God wants all of us to do in our daily life? Stop. Slow down. And spend time with Him. I've been guilty of this. Jonathan might say, hey, Brother Roel, I have a question. Great, walk with me. And by that I mean, I want to hear your question, but walk with me, I got something to do. Sometimes that's the spirit in which we spend time with God. Hey, God, walk with me. I'm busy. And it's got to fit into our life and into our schedule and into the way we do things. And God just wants us to slow down, to cease activity, and then to get quiet. We are bombarded with daily noise and distractions and technology and clamor, and God wants us just to be still, to slow down, to get quiet. The Washington Post recently ran a story of a bluebird who built her nest 75 yards from a loud natural gas compressor. As the weeks passed, her stress hormone levels became skewed and her health deteriorated. Her body broke down and her hatchlings died. When scientists later sampled her blood, they found the same psychological symptoms as those who suffered from PTSD. The article went on to describe the debilitating effects of noise pollution on natural environments all around us and on us, talking about the stress that it adds and the fact that we live in a world that is so blanketed by noise, loud, harsh, unsettling, that our souls are chronically stressed. You say, Gabe, I identify with an inside that is chronically stressed. And one of the answers for that is slow down, get in a quiet place, and spend time with God. If we want our soul to be strengthened and attuned to the voice of God, then we've got to be still so we can hear. We're reminded in 1 Kings 19:12, after the earthquake is a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. God wants us to be attuned to the still small voice of His Spirit. Ken Blanchard in his book on leadership said, solitude and silence give us some space to reform our innermost attitudes toward people and events. They take the world off our shoulders for a time and interrupt our habit of constantly manning things and of being in control or thinking we are in control. So slow down, get quiet, and then pray. Prayer is the river by which God's strength flows into our life. God wants you and I to spend time with Him every day. Can I give you a starting point if you're not actively doing that right now? How about take the Be Still challenge? And every day, find 10 minutes, morning, noon, night, wherever your day it fits, and take the Be Still challenge. Slow down, get quiet, and pray. Spend some time with the Lord in His Word and in conversation with Him in prayer. Consider what David prayed in Psalm 6:2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. In Psalms 22:19, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me, David prayed. And you and I could pray so much similar. But then letter D, as we close, notice that we can download God's strength through weakness. When the Apostle Paul called to God to remove his affliction, God said in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness more gladly. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Watch what Paul come to the conclusion. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Does that not sound like a contradiction to you and I today? What do you mean, Paul, when you are weak? You are strong, but that's exactly what Paul said. Paul understood the difficult circumstances in his life was teaching him a profound truth about God. Years ago, a TV commercial advertised that a glue that you could purchase, and it had the claim that when you repaired a broken object, that at the point of repair, it would be stronger than any other part of that object. In fact, under any stress, any other place would break except the bond where you brought those two together. That's exactly what Paul was experiencing. That when I exchange my weakness for God's strength, that becomes stronger than anything else in my life. God brings His supernatural strength. Spurgeon said, God does not need your strength. He has more than enough power of His own. He asks for your weakness because He has none of that Himself. And He is longing, therefore, to take your weakness and use it as the instrument in His own mighty hand. Will you not yield your weakness to Him and receive His strength? Friend, the only thing you and I can offer God that He does not have is our weakness. And yet oftentimes you'll find Christians living in their own strength well below the standard that God could allow them to live. Why? Because there's no time to exchange their weakness for God's strength. But when we take that time and we tap into God's divine strength, God enables us to live with the confidence that we should. Paul experienced this in his life. And at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and all the Gentiles might hear, as I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul said, I'm coming into my life, but you know what I've experienced? The strength that only comes from God. One author said, it is when believers are out of answers, confidence and strength with nowhere else to turn but to God, that they are in a position to be most effective. No one in the kingdom of God is too weak to experience God's power, but many are too confident in their own strength. Jesus Christ identified with our weakness when He died on the cross. He extends to us His power, but we must choose to receive it. We must admit that we need it. An overcomer exchanged their weakness for God's strength. For a concert violinist, strength is four finely tuned strings. The absence of a string would put most violinists in a position of weakness. But Israeli-American violinist Yitzhak Perlman is not most violinist. And Perlman knows that something about weakness to begin with. He was afflicted with polio as a child. He wears braces on both legs and walks with the help of crutches. Getting on the stage and seated for a concert is no small task. But one evening in 1995, while performing with an orchestra in New York City, one of the strings on his violin broke and hung limp off the side of the instrument. The loud snap ricocheted through the hall, and it was obvious to everyone what had just happened. The audience, as well as the conductor and the orchestra, assumed that they would pause in the concert, while Perlman would take time to repair or to replace his instrument. Instead, the great violinist closed his eyes for a moment, while the audience waited in silence. Then he motioned to the conductor to begin the piece again. What would be impossible but for just a few human beings, playing a violin concert with four good strings, was translated into something perhaps no one else could have done, play the same concert with only three strings. As he played, in his mind, Perlman was adjusting, recomposing, innovating, and performing on the fly, turning a position of weakness into a performance of strength. Perlman's lifetime familiarity with the violin allowed him to turn a moment of defeat into a masterful victory. You see, our goal, to develop the resources that we need, to adjust, to recompose, to innovate, to prevail when confronted with our own challenges. For the Christian, all of this means knowing the source of our strength, which is God and His Word. And as an overcomer, when you and I find our strength in God, and not in ourselves, that is when we will experience victory. Friend, we can't pause the concert of our life when we feel weak or underwhelmed. But when we are diligently seeking the heart of God, when we are exchanging our weakness for His strength, when we are filled with His Spirit, we can experience victory as an overcomer. The Bible says in Psalms 31:24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So can I remind us this morning? It's God's desire that we would be an overcomer. God wants you and I to live in victory. That's His purpose. That's His plan. How do we do it? First of all, exchanging our weakness for His strength. Are we willing to admit we need it? And are we willing to download it according to His plan? In the next week, we'll learn about overcoming falsehood with truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for some time together in Your Word this morning. as we begin this brand new series, Overcomer. How do we live a life of unstoppable strength and unmovable power? Lord, it's living the life you destined us to live. And so may we this morning as a class and individuals and families make the choice to exchange our weakness for your strength. God, may we admit we can't do this on our own. May we acknowledge you have all the strength we need. All we have to do is admit we need you and come to you and receive, and you will freely give. And so may we make that a daily practice this week by taking the Be Still Challenge, spending some time in your word and in prayer. And I pray that the evidence would be this entire room filled with people living the life of an overcomer, exchanging their weakness for your strength. And for this, we promise to thank you and to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.